Welcome to the IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast for couples who struggle with infertility and want to fulfill their dreams of becoming parents. In this podcast, you'll learn actionable strategies to deal with infertility from Dr. Michael Chapman, or Prof as he's affectionately known. Prof is the co-founder of IVF Australia and is a leading Australian infertility specialist who has helped over 3,000 couples realise their dreams of becoming parents. To access previous episodes packed with ideas, solutions and tips that actually work, head over to Dr. Chapman's IVF podcast on iTunes. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him, michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.
That first cry of a baby born after the long journey of IVF remains one of the most beautiful experiences in the world. As an obstetrician and an IVF specialist, I've had the privilege of experiencing this over many thousands of times in my long career, but I still remain moved by each baby's first cry. It signifies the end of a long journey and the beginning of a new life. This is Professor Michael Chapman, co-founder of IVF Australia and host of the IVF Journey podcast. Thanks for tuning in. To access all the previous episodes, head over to my website, www.theivfjourney.com, and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu. You'll also be able to find the various services that we provide at IVF Australia. Today's conversation is going to be about eggs and egg numbers. One of the great fears of women, particularly as they're getting over 35, is that they're running out of eggs. This has been hyped to some extent in the media by the coverage on women having a hormone test called anti-Müllerian hormone, AMH, which has gained a great deal of popularity. We'll discuss in some detail what AMH is and what it can tell us and what it can't tell us. But first, what I'd like to do is run through what actually happens with eggs in a female. A woman is given all the eggs that she has for the rest of her life by about 20 weeks of life. So when she's still inside her mother's womb, her ovaries have been formed and all the cells that are going to become eggs have developed within that ovary. Obviously, that's two ovaries, one on each side. So that ovary has all the eggs it's ever going to get. And what then happens over time is a gradual loss of those eggs. That loss ultimately ends up with a woman running out of eggs, on average, at the age of 50. So there's a slippery slope that begins, in fact, even before birth. At that 20-week time, so the middle of the pregnancy, the female has something in the order of 2 to 3 million cells that could become eggs in the long term. By birth, it's already fallen to 500,000. By the time a girl goes through puberty, so we're talking 12 years later, she's down to about 200,000 to 300,000 eggs. That still seems a lot, given that for the whole of her reproductive life, from puberty through to menopause, she's going to actually only make something in the order of 12 eggs a year for that next 38 years. So multiplying that out, that's only about 400 eggs that are needed for the whole of a woman's reproductive life. Although when she starts having periods, she's got upwards of 250,000 eggs. But each month, a substantial number decay. They break down, they go something called apoptosis, and the body absorbs them. So each month, 200 or 300 eggs are lost. This rate of loss is variable. And so there are women who by the age of 30, in fact, have already run out of eggs. This is very rare, called premature ovarian failure. in this situation, it may be that the original number of eggs was small when they were laid down in the mother's womb, or it may be that the rate of loss is increased for some biological reason that we don't understand. But once they're gone, they're gone. By 40, about 5% of women will have run out of eggs. They will have gone through menopause, still prematurely, and still can be very disappointing if women put off childbearing to then discover that they've actually run out of eggs. But the majority of women will get to the age of 50 before that happens. So that's the background. How can we tell whether you, trying to get pregnant, have sufficient numbers of eggs? These days, it's routine to do the test I mentioned earlier, the AMH level, which gives us a rough guide on the number of eggs that are present. AMH is produced by eggs once they've got past their initial phase of resting. Those cells that were laid down in utero, once they move on to the next stage of development, start to produce this anti-Müllerian hormone. So it gives us some idea of how many eggs there are in that particular phase, which ultimately, in the right hormonal conditions, will end up with a mature egg. So measuring AMH gives us some idea. The science at the moment suggests that it is really only a rough guide. It doesn't mean that if you have a low level, you'll never get pregnant. It doesn't mean that even with a very low level, you won't ever get pregnant. It's not that accurate. But if you do have low levels, it's important to have an assessment of the situation, because it may be that your menopause will come earlier and therefore your length of time in which you have the opportunity to get pregnant may be reduced. Because there certainly is evidence emerging that the age of menopause can be predicted to some extent by your AMH level in your 30s. The other assessment tool that we have is to look at the ovaries with highly specialized ultrasound. And in that modality, we can actually see the number of these semi-formed eggs. They're called antral follicles. And if there are more than 10 or 12 of these in each ovary, you can be fairly confident that you have good egg numbers and therefore no rush, get on and have a baby. So antral follicle count and AMH are the two ways that we have of getting some assessment of the number of eggs left in the ovary. Other hormone tests are not particularly useful unless a woman is really very close to the menopause, and then there is time to panic. If the pituitary hormones are highly elevated, then we can be very concerned that A, there are not going to be many eggs left, B, if we do IVF, we're not going to stimulate many eggs, and the odds of a pregnancy are quite low. So having made that assessment, and I think it is a good idea for women who are having trouble conceiving to get those tests done, because it puts in some perspective of how quickly one should be moving on to either getting pregnant or trying to get pregnant, or even moving more quickly to other interventions, ultimately ending up with that journey to IVF. If we do end up going to IVF, the AMH level and the antral count level do help us in maximizing the chances of success and avoiding side effects. What these measurements do is allow us to tailor the dosage of drugs we use to stimulate the ovaries for IVF. So if you have very high levels of AMH, for instance, we would tend to use lower doses so you don't run the risk of ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome, which is probably the worst complication of IVF. On the other hand, if you have low levels of AMH, we can quite comfortably use high doses of FSH to maximize the number of eggs that we're stimulating. So AMH is a useful measurement, particularly in relation to maximizing the chances of success with IVF. But going back to the original question, how many eggs do I have? In fact, for the vast majority of women, in their 30s or even in their early 40s, egg numbers are not going to be the vital part that determines the chances of success on the IVF journey. The most important factor is actually the quality of the individual eggs. And it's that age plays the major role. Numbers can decrease, but more importantly, quality does decrease, particularly after the age of 38. That quality issue is about the competence of that egg to be genetically normal. As technology has advanced over the last decade and we're able to actually test both eggs and embryos, it's become clear that the number of eggs that are genetically normal before fertilization rises. Sorry, I'll say that bit again. What is quite clear with the increasing technology that we have to enable us to do genetic testing of eggs and embryo, that as women's age increases, the number of normal eggs and normal embryos decreases substantially. For instance, when we look at embryos, which is what we often do these days, a woman at the age of 30 who produces day 5 embryos, when we look at those embryos, around 40 to 50% of them are genetically abnormal. When we get to 40, the genetic abnormalities increase, and it's more like 60 to 70% of embryos are genetically abnormal. And by 45, it's 95%+ of embryos that are produced are genetically abnormal. And it all relates back to egg competence, egg quality. So just to wrap things up, the original question that I get asked quite often is, how many eggs have I got left? And while we can get some estimates of that from hormone tests and ultrasound, the more important aspect of the chances of success with IVF is the quality of the eggs. And ultimately, that's related to age. And don't forget that you can access all the previous episodes by going to our website, www.theivfjourney.com, and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu.
Thank you for listening to The IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast which helps couples negotiate their way through the IVF journey all the way to parenthood. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.